depend and trust in. Give God the glory and the praise because he's always there. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. I didn't know if I was on or not. All right, praise God. So, how works work? How works work? Hopefully you've been blessed by it. A lot of information, as most of the studies are, but it also shows us how much information the Word of God gives us. The Word of God gives us all the information we need for these topics, and hopefully you're getting that. And when you come here and I'm ministering or preaching to you, it's for you to take in this information so you can apply it. So works plays a major part, and we've learned in the last 2 weeks. First of all, our salvation is from grace, from God, not of our works. We want to make that clear, okay? Very important to know there's nothing I can do to get my salvation, to earn my salvation, nothing at all. And those that are saved live to do good works. So there is a portion where works play in a part because I'm saved, and that's true also. It is wrong for Christians to try and receive righteousness through works. So if I go out and say, I'm going to be a better person, and here's my book that I wrote on how I'm going to be a better person based on me, you've already failed. Okay? I can't do it. Righteousness is God, so I got to be God, so it cannot work. Human works is man using his own power. Okay? We're not supposed to go after our own power. Works of faith is a man doing what God says, depending on God. It's what is also known as belief. Now, why is that so important? Because we know when he says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that so that he who believes. So what does it mean to believe? He didn't just say that he who has faith. No, it says he who believes. So the belief part is very necessary. So we got an understanding. We're going to touch that. And we've touched on that, so we'll talk about that. We can't do anything to earn our salvation, but we do act to show we receive what got us our salvation. I always use it as, if you got free tickets, did you do anything to earn those tickets? Absolutely not. Okay? So, but to get those tickets, they have terms. Your family can't work for this place. You can't play this game again in another year. You can't sell them for a certain price. There's stuff you can't do. Now, even though those terms are there and you follow all of those actions, did you earn those tickets? The answer is still no. Okay? It's never you earning them. But in order to truly receive them, that's the belief part. The belief part is I accept the terms in order to receive. So we are not earning our salvation. Our works are showing that we receive our salvation. If I accept God and still sin, I did not accept God because I didn't take the terms. This is where people have distorted grace because they're saying, oh, man, you can still accept God and sin all you want and you're still saved. That's dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous, because that's not true. Difference between human works and works of faith. Works of faith only seeks God's approval and is based on faith. That's why it's called works of faith. It's based on what God says, period. I'm just doing what God says. But I'm doing it. I'm not just believing it. I'm doing. When he told Abraham to go sacrifice his son, he had to do something. Okay, I'm going to go do it. Not, hey, Abraham, would you sacrifice your son if I told you? Yeah, of course I would. That's what we think faith is, because I say I'll do it. God is like, okay, now show me. A lot of us say we have faith, and just in your regular life, the things you're doing showing you don't. Because your actions are showing I don't have it. It's showing that I'm doing something else other than doing what you told me to do. The difference maker between the two is purpose. Either it's for God or not. That's it. Those are the two choices. Makes it that simple. Why did you do this? If you go because it made me happy, because it worked out, because I seen somebody else do it, all not for God. None of that is faith. Okay? How works reveals what's real. Okay? So works is also the evidence of what I really am. So it's good because it allows the people who are encouraging me to know, and it's for me to know. Right? I can sit here and call myself Christian and then watch my life. Right? And this is why I encourage you, keep your opinion when you're helping somebody out of it. Sometimes we go, I think you should, or it's okay if you. I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear is, am I doing what God says? Period. Right? Because why is this so important? Because it shows me what I really am. Only the righteous live righteously, and only the evil live evil. Keyword is live. Keyword is live. Doesn't mean the righteous won't at times do something evil, and that the evil at times won't do something righteous. It's watch their lives, how they live. And if you want to know what righteous mean, their lives will be fully based on the Bible. Not, I'm a good person, I do good things. Please don't do that. It has nothing to do with it. Because only God is good. And the only way you know to do God is you got to be in the Word and apply the Word. Y'all got that? And he made clear. So that's it. That's one of those evidence of what you really are. Spiritual fruit, reverence, and living right are signs of Christian. So spiritual fruit, remember he says, you will know them by their fruit. And the reason why it's called spiritual fruit, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. So it won't come from me. It's not because I did it. It's because I'm allowing him to do it. Reverence. You'll see me more fearful to do stuff against God, not to follow him. And there's certain things in my life when it comes to God that I must do because of my reverence for him. I got to do it because God said. Let me see what God says. I take care of serious what God says. But too many times we fall into this. We don't have reverence. We turn God into very wishy-washy. And that's why even as parents, we can become wishy-washy. We tell our kids, do it again. They do it again. All right, do it again. You know what I mean? Because we don't do anything. There's nothing that happens. So there's no reverence. So we take God that same way instead of going, man, I'm going to have to pay for this. Right? And living right. Like we said earlier, living right is not some definition you made up. It's in the Bible. If I'm doing what the Bible says, I'm living right. If I'm not, I'm not. And don't use that, yeah, God knows my heart, because you just gave yourself away. Yeah, he knows your heart. And your heart is bad. So if I'm not living in line with the Bible, something is wrong, period. And there are signs, when I do it right, then there are signs of a Christian. Christian's persistence in doing good, seeking glory, honor, and immortality. That describes a Christian. Okay? And the key word, persistence in doing good. You'll see them keep doing what the Bible says. Didn't look like I failed this time, I'm going to keep doing it. Didn't look like it worked out for me, I'm going to keep doing it. If God says it, I'm going to keep doing it. And the things that they're seeking are all of God. Okay? I'm just seeking what is of God. You may lose this promotion bit. That's right. That's fine. That person may not be with you anymore. Okay, that's okay. I'm seeking God. Do y'all get this? However, a non-Christian, the first key one, and that's the key right there, and that's what hurts most Christians today. We're first self-seeking. We come to God with a mindset of, make me happy, God, and then I'll do your will. Do what I want you to for me, God, and then I'll do what you want me to. All right? You ever see people who have to coax their or trick or reward their kids ahead of time to do what they're supposed to do in the first place? If you do this, then I'll give you this. You ever do that? And that's self-seeking. Instead of going, no. I'm trying to serve him. Do you understand that? Even when I don't like it, reject the truth. Doesn't mean they won't listen to any of the Bible. It means there's parts when they don't like them, they get rid of them. Right? They kind of take them out of there. I don't want that part in there. And follow evil. The stuff they do, you're going, why are you doing this? Where is this at? Well, it's not in the Bible, but that's a sign of a non-Christian. And be very clear, there is no other route. They're headed to hell. The evil also do not provide for their relatives and hate their brothers. And remember, not providing for your relatives, God tells us how to provide. Not just in finances, but the time I got to spend with them, the teachings that I'm supposed to do. If I'm not giving that, it's a sinner. That's a person that's not a Christian. In fact, he said they're worse than an unbeliever. But watch this. Hating their brothers. Some of us go, okay, that's not me. But remember, he says basically, if I don't show you God, I show you hate. Do y'all get this? All right. When I don't give you God. So if I say, hey, man, you're fine doing that wrong thing you're doing, I hate you. We even seen that when it talked about a parent and a child. It says you withhold the rod from a child. You hate that child. Remember that verse? OK. When you don't show discipline, they said you hate the child. Same thing we do with our brothers. When I don't give them God, who is love, I'm hating them. Even though they think I'm their best friend. Why? Because I'm doing stuff physically or emotionally that they like, but not spiritual. So then I'm showing them hate. Human works can put us in danger by taking us away from Christ and depending on self and removing our relationship with God. danger of being in human works. You can't do it. Stop trying to do it on your own. Start going to him and following him, depending on the Holy Spirit. So in last week, our actions reveal what we really are. If we give in or live for the sinful nature or live wicked, we are in the path of God's wrath and headed to hell. Can we make that any clearer? He showed this is where, look at your walk, look at your life. Okay? So giving in is that I'm done. And some of us are on the edge. And like I said, my prayer used to be, once again, before I understood what the word said, God is shaking it up for those who aren't going to hang on. You're like, no, don't do that. This person's real sensitive and they might leave. God's like, no, I'm giving them everything. And if they have something that's going to take them away from me, let them go. And he's not saying it to be mean because we're still self-seeking. Some of us have God on a limit. God, I'll do it. But if you know, the minute you do this, I'm leaving. God's saying, leave then. I want those who are going to earnestly seek me, not the people that are wishy-washy. So they're called the cowards. And you have those that are going to be in it, and they're going to always have in their mind, I did this for God, and I did that, I went to church, and I did this, and I left. And now they're doomed. As if they did something. Sinful nature. If I live for my sinful nature is human nature, human nature is me. If I live for me, if I do me, if my purpose is me, I'm in trouble. Okay? And wicked, anything done outside of God is wicked and evil. They both fit that. OK, we're in the path of God's wrath. Remember, God's wrath is a deserved anger. I deserve what's coming if I were to say. That's why when we get grace, it takes us out of God's wrath. But when people don't accept grace, you're going to get what you deserve. Amen. Secondly, we saw when we accept the wicked, we are counted as wicked. There are Christians here that know a buddy or a friend or a family member is doing something that is totally, and they're calling themselves Christian. They're talking about Christians that are doing this. So I'm a Christian. I have another Christian who is doing something that's outside of being a Christian, their teachings or whatever, and I'm fully embracing and accepting it. What you don't understand is now you are just like them in God's eyes. If you accept them, you are now wicked. Well, I'm not doing it. No. An accessory is. Do you get this? That's what he's letting you know. Okay, that's why in some of the verses it's saying have nothing to do with them. But we still go, I know what they're doing, but that's my brother and my sister. And we've been friends since we were little. You'll say all this stuff, and God's going, okay, hope that can save you, even though it's not. We grow in God's works by works we must do must be through faith. So we grow as long as the works we do are in faith. A Christian's work has to be based on faith. So what is that faith? Faith comes from hearing and reading God's word. Okay? So the only way I'm going to build faith is hearing God's word and reading God's word. I got to hear it and I got to read it. I got to make sure I'm getting God's word. You're not getting God's word. So people who don't go to church say they have faith are lying. People who are not truly studying God's word are lying. They don't have faith. They got some emotional thing that they're going through and they're calling it faith. And Satan doesn't care if you have counterfeit faith as long as it's not faith. Do y'all get this? I have to get the word. See, even if you're coming here and let's say you just don't feel like listening to me today and you kind of zone out, you're hurting you, right? If I'm not preaching from the word, you need to hold me accountable. Pastor, that's not in the Bible. You got to give me the Bible. I need this. But if you come here and you're thinking of everything else and then when church is over, you're like, oh, good, good. Glory, glory, we're going to sing. And we're gone. And you get nothing. That was your fault. That was on you. Make sense? We also see when we work through faith, it's allowing God to work through us. Us working through faith is just opening a door for him to work. Him that truly gives us righteousness. Him that truly gives us strength. So faith is me just following him. Let him take it from there. Remember what we did over to order my steps. And I said, there's times you're going to go through things. You did everything he told you. Trust him. Just trust him. You're like, why? Stop. Just trust me. And Paul was an excellent example on that. You know, he said, I pleaded with the Lord, take it away. God said, no, trust me. And he did give an example for us. He says, my faith, my grace is sufficient. He's letting you know, all I need is his grace no matter what I'm going through. Okay? So we understand this, that I have to, through faith, follow what he says. Let him take it from there. And we are to totally live by faith, never by senses. The key word is not by sight. And you'd be surprised, and hopefully if everybody look at your last year, how many of you lived by sight and called it faith? You did something based on what you seen or what you felt or what you heard, not from him. And all these senses came in, and because it felt right when you did it, you thought, oh, I'm going to do it again. That's faith. It's disturbing to see how many Christians are not living by faith today. We're living by so many other things. Lives must be Jesus' purpose, never, everybody say never, self-purpose. Keyword, never. Because I think we live self-purpose and every once in a while do Jesus a favor. Or at least we think. Our lives are surrounding us. I want to be happy. I want to make sure I have this in place. I got to have this. I got to have this. And guess what? I'm going to read my Bible today. And then I won't read again for another 2 months. Right? We think we're doing God a favor when we take the stuff that he's given us for us. Remember, he's saying, you don't have to go to church, but you're going to still be responsible for what you're learning in church. Do y'all get this? I had the one professor, exactly what he said. He said, I don't care if none of you come, I'm going to teach. But when the tests come, you're responsible for it. And he says, but I can assure you, nobody in this class will be able to just take the test and pass. He was like, the stuff you need, there's some stuff that's specifically only going to be in my lectures. And the only way you'll know them is if you come to my lecture. And he said that first time, never gave a speech again. Sometimes you went to class, people just took a class, because he didn't mark anybody. And when people failed, he didn't feel bad for you at all. Y'all get it? He was like, I gave you everything you need. You chose not to get it. You're still responsible for it. God's saying the same thing to us. Amen? And we must suffer in the body so not to give in to living for the body. Okay? So what he says, have the same attitude as Jesus. God is going to put us in some situations that I'm going to react to the body, what I desire, I'm going to react to Christ. And the more I do that, that's why I beat my body to make it my slave. So even though I'm still going to feel it, I can say, no, we're not doing it. That's how it should be. When you're emotionally led, you did it because of your emotions. What you did was based on your emotions. Another sermon's coming up to show these things that trigger these other elements. And we'll talk about those. But when I'm spiritually led, I'll really want it, but I won't do it unless God says to do it. Amen? So that's where we last left off. Now, the training in works of faith is in church service by God-ordained teachers. That's how it should be. I can't say it's that way all the time today. Ephesians 4:11 kind of breaks down some things of what church should be. That's why I said, this is what you're supposed to hold me accountable for. When people give me other advice or tell me what not to do, I take it into consideration, but unless they give me based on this, it's meaningless for the most part. Yeah, I mean, I'll make adjustments here and there, especially on disputable matters. But look what I'm responsible to answer to God for. What he says in Ephesians 4:11 through 13, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. The whole gearing of this is God's the one who gave it. So church wasn't some man-made thing. And there is levels of the teachers or the people that are responsible for being church leaderships. He first gave some to be apostles. Apostles were the ones that laid the foundation. I know today people think it's some title and some upgrade to get more pay or whatever, but no, they served a major purpose, and you really don't have apostles today. Their purpose was to lay the foundation. The foundation has been laid, and that foundation is Christ. Remember Paul said that, okay? So that's what the apostles' purpose was. Some to be prophets. The major first group of prophets were the ones who did the New Testament and did other teachings and stuff to lead to God. Do you understand that? Now, there still exists some prophets today, and they serve certain purposes and stuff like that, but they are part of that ministry as well. Some to be evangelists are traveling ministers. Okay? They are church planters. All right? So they'll go to an area that needs a church. They'll help them structure it, put it the way it's supposed to be, put the right person to teach and lead, pastors and teachers. And they kind of go together. Pastors got to be able to teach, but they got to maintain and take care of the flock. God put that in there. So that's the first. That's the leadership in itself. He says, what is my purpose? To prepare God's people for works of service. Did y'all catch that? To prepare God's people for works of service. Now, I'm not saying not to invite non-Christians to church. I'm saying that shouldn't be your only ministry. Some people go, come to my church. That's their ministry. What'll happen is they'll come, they'll sit down, they'll hear, and they'll go, I have no idea what he's talking about. Remember, it's spiritually discerned. Your job is to minister in how you live, the time you spend with them, the way you're around them, and then they'll go, do you mind if I go to church? Ah. Do you get what I'm saying? Because my job is not to go, oh, there's a whole bunch of non-Christians out there. I got to readjust my sermon. Because if I take away and minister to non-Christians, guess who I'm taking away from? And I'm supposed to prepare God's people. Did y'all catch that? I've heard ministers say, I was going to do a sermon, but I saw them bringing this group of people, and I couldn't do it because I didn't want to offend. Sounds great, but it's not what he said I'm supposed to do. Do y'all get this? I'm supposed to teach Christians. And not Christians as individuals. He says God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I got to preach to you as a group of one until we all reach unity in faith. Why do I need to be here and you need to be here with one another? So let's say one of you are excelling. You understand this sermon, but you see somebody else sitting there going, I have no idea. It's your responsibility to go, hey, let's sit down and go over this together. Because the body has to get into it till we all reach unity because we're one body. Does that make sense? If the rest of my body's good but my leg is dragging behind, it drags the rest of my body behind. So I got to do something to fix that leg. So we look at everybody and go, does everybody get this? Hey, let's all get together and go over this again. I remember we had one class, and that's what we do. You had a group of people that always said, we're going to be at the library at this time. Whoever wants to come, let's come on in. And we'd all show up, and we'd input the stuff you did understand, you shared, the stuff you didn't understand, you received. And it was perfect the way it worked. Why aren't Christians doing that? We don't understand. We're going, oh, well. And we move on. Because there is a time until we all reach unity in what? The faith. Because there's only one faith, believe it or not. Even though you have a whole bunch of counterfeits out there, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, into that relationship, we all should have the same relationship and become mature, and we all should grow. Why are Christians in the same level of maturity, which is immaturity? Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, what does this part mean? Remember, he said there's going to be a time you're going to be able to do more than me. People looked at that as individuals, not realizing, remember, he's the only one that got the full dose of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that could do every gift in there. He's the only one that could do all of it. We can also, but not as individuals. I just get a portion because I'm just part of the body. The body of who? Christ. Christ is the body. Right? That's why he had all of it. So collectively as a church, we form the body. So I need to come to the whole measure. And the way I do that is combining with you. If I go out there and try to be super duper Christian number one, I missed it. There are certain gifts I will not, cannot, I just don't have it. God has not given it to me because it was never meant for me to do it by myself and never meant for you. So when you have those go it alone Christians, they missed it. They have no idea what they're talking about. But the ones that know I am part of something and I'm a major part, but I need the other pieces. Do y'all get this? Is where it becomes necessary. So hold the church accountable. So then as I'm teaching you, is to build you up in him so that you're doing the right type of works. The Bible provides us with everything we need for every good work. So if you want to know how to do whatever works, the Bible shows us this. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed. I was telling you, I'm careful not to say Paul said or Peter said. If I slip up and doing that, please forgive me, because Paul is saying what God is giving them. So the answer should either be God, Paul was inspired to, or God said. He's saying the Bible is from God. Now, you get those people who become intellectuals in the sense of, well, Paul must have been going through something. I remember when all the scriptures on women and leadership and stuff like that, I grew up where people would say, oh, it's because Paul hated women. That was their answer. Where the heck did they get that from? Right? And people go, oh, okay, that's an answer. And they were like, he had a problem with them. Not, but God told them what to say. You understand that? So in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, this is serious because for me to help you, just give me the Bible. I don't care if it's because I did something wrong. Remember, it's teaching is me teaching is or giving you instructions, giving you the understanding of it. Rebuking is you doing something you know better, and I'm telling you why. Once again, just using the Bible, okay? Correcting is you're doing something and you wasn't aware that you were doing wrong. So I'm correcting. You were going the wrong way. And, oh, no, no, it's this way. And training, putting it into practice. But all of it has to be from the Bible. Now, we get too many Christians that will give you some Bible and a whole lot of them. I'd feel better if you, maybe you shouldn't stop. Cut it out. Please stop. Or, it's okay if you, I don't see a problem with, please stop. It's all from the Bible, all scripture. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good, what? Work. The reason why we struggle with works is because we get those others who add impure things to it. You don't have to do that. It's okay if you do that. You know what I mean? Without raising hand, how many of us are guilty of this? In which we readjust based off of our feelings, but not off of what God says. We gave them an answer based on how we've seen it, not on what God says. Amen? Also, we must cleanse ourselves in order for God to use us for good works. How do we cleanse ourselves? Okay, how do we do this? You know, because the ceremonial washings was a physical rendition of what we are supposed to do spiritually. Okay, something. So how do we cleanse? 2 Timothy 2:20 to 21 says, in a large house where there are articles not only for gold, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. The house is the world. He's letting you know. Okay, so he's letting you know there's valuable things and things that are not so valuable. Okay, he says some are for noble purposes. Some are for ignoble purposes. Okay? He's saying all Christians better be for the noble purpose. How do I know? He said, if a man cleanses himself from the latter. I'm going to show you how to do this. But he's saying, I have to first cleanse myself. This is an act that I have to do. How do I do this? Then I'm going to be used for, if I don't cleanse myself, I'm going to be used for ignoble. God's still going to use you. Just not to your, it's not going to be to your benefit. You got where I'm coming from? Oh, he's still going to use you, but the stuff you'll be used for is stuff because you're going to, remember he used Pharaoh? Pharaoh's not some great, he says, I put you here for this very purpose. Okay? And he was used for an ignoble purpose. But and when I cleanse myself, now God can use me for noble purposes. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. So you, hopefully you're saying, well, Pastor, how do I cleanse myself? Well, the Bible shows us. We cleanse ourselves by obeying the word, simply put. He says in 1 Peter 1:22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Did y'all catch that? What he didn't say is, now that you have purified yourself by reading the truth, by hearing the truth. All of those are part of it, but then we stop short. The cleansing doesn't happen until I do the truth. Did y'all get that? In fact, if you go back to, I think it's John 17 when Jesus was giving his prayer, he says, now that they are clean by obeying the truth. Your word is truth. Do you understand that? So if you're not doing this, you're not clean and can't be used by God. Can he make that any clearer? He says, so that you have been have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. But the important part is this is how I clean myself. Very important. I have to know it, understand it, apply it. Cleaning starts happening. The cleansing, and then God makes me holy. Then God can work with me. But until I do that, I'm in trouble. You got it? All right? Obeying God's word is doing God's word. Plain and simple. Obeying, just so anybody says, what is obeying? Obeying doesn't mean, yep, amen. Because some of us think that we think obeying is I agree. No, no, it's you living in agreement. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word, and watch what he says, and so deceive yourselves. The Pharisees, by far, were some of the most brilliant Bible knowledge people out there. Does that make sense? They knew the word backward and forward. They knew that word. Okay? Problem is, he said they're going to the deepest depths of hell. Remember, he said the darkest is reserved. Why? Because they were not living the word. You understand? They did enough for people to praise them, but they were not obeying the word. You have some people that are Bible scholars, but not Bible doers, and they're deceiving themselves. They can recite scripture, do scripture, all that with scripture, but they're not doing. That's why he says, do what it says. You don't do what you say, you're deceiving yourself. And man, that could be, that's eternally devastating. Think about that. If I know it, and I know it really very well, this happened last week, didn't it? And I didn't mean that. And you may know it very well, but then what we end up doing is we give in to our knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, amen, instead of realizing, no, I got to live it. Majority of your ministry is going to be how you live. People watch. And if I get the same attitude the world does, if I curse people out the same way the world does, if I deal with money the same way the world does, if my relationships are the same way the world does, if I raise my kids the same way the world does, all this stuff, if I'm doing all the above, I'm deceiving me. And like I said, it would be devastating on that day when I go, Jesus. He goes, I never knew you. What do you mean? Let me start reciting scripture to you. He says, it's meaningless because you weren't living it. You weren't doing it. Right? So you never trusted in it. So expected works of Christians. There are works that we are required to do. Every Christian that has to be making sure this is something I'm looking at and this is a part of my life. I'm responsible for doing these things. So what are they? First of all, every work you do once you become a Christian must be a work of faith. I'm trying to push that in there to make sure you get it because the Bible does. Romans 14:23 says, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. That's the first thing. So have you ever done something as a Christian? And somebody says, are you supposed to do that? And you go, I don't know. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. Why are you doing it? Explain to me why you're not doing it. Okay? If I'm not doing it with the reason behind faith, do y'all get this? Based on the Bible saying this, that's why I can do this. Or I shouldn't be doing this. Or do y'all get this? Y'all see how that works? It's going to be based off of what he says. If I do it, even if the Bible says to do it, and I'm unsure in my doing it, I still sin. That's deep, isn't it? Because I don't have purpose. He has to be my purpose. Because he said so. Got it. When I go, I don't know, somebody told me. I think the Bible said that. You better restructure. You better get somewhere. Get to know it. Do you understand that? But he makes it very clear. Everything. Everybody say everything. And that includes what? All things. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Right? Okay? Also, we were called to live a holy life. Now, if you remember talking about cleansing yourself, in other words, I can't just be holy, okay? But I'm made holy. But I have to cleanse myself in order to be made holy. So in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who has saved us and called us to live a holy life? So he's the one doing it for us. So now I got to live to cleanse myself so he can now make me holy. In other words, godly, to do stuff based on him. Not because of anything we have done. He's not trying to make me holy because he thinks, man, having Keith in here is going to be great. No, what a wretched man Keith is. He wants to know, I didn't pick nobody because any of you are great. There's nobody that's great. I had to send my son because nobody was great. And we need to understand that. It says, but because of his own purpose and grace, he did it based on him, not based on you. That's why sometimes when people threaten to leave and I'm not going to church anymore and I'm not doing this, I think you kind of think you're going to get a, you know, first round draft pick and you're going to be somewhere next to, because they got to have you on the team. And God is like, no. You are worthless without me. You choose to leave, you're just back to being worthless. Please know that. Right? So when people just want to go, you're hurting you. It says this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. This grace that he's talking about, way before any of this started, it was created. Before man even fell, there was grace. He said, I know I'm going to have to do this. And it's all part of his perfect plan. God provides us with everything we need for every good work. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, the necessary, if you read a little further up, in this, and I think 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, it's talking about why we give tithes and offerings. Now, it's not for me to just give my money and hopefully get a whole bunch of money back. That's not what it's saying. It's a spiritual act of you showing God that he is your provider. Okay? When you don't give, you really think you made the money. You really think you're the provider. You really think you're the source. And in doing so, there's a lot of stuff you're not getting. Now, by sight, I'll go, but man, I've been giving money and I still struggle with this. That's not what he said. What he didn't say is, you give this and I'm going to give you $1 billion next week. That's not what he says. I know the prosperities will teach that, in which people are sitting there, I'm waiting for this windfall. No, no, no. He was like, I'm your provider. So for every situation you're in, I'm going to give you more than you need for your situations. Do you got where I'm coming from? Trust in me. Show me you trust in me. So you take that money you make and you say, I'm giving, showing my trust in you. Or I'm not giving, so I don't trust in you. And then you're going to go through situations and you're going, why am I struggling in this? Because you didn't trust in God. And you won't see how much you're missing because you're choosing not to give. He says he is able to make all grace abound to you. He was like, I can make it work. So when you get into it, you'll do exactly what I need you to do. A Christian will know, even when I get in and I seem like I failed, man, I succeeded. But only Christians will know that. Christian that trusts in God. It says, so that in all things at all times. I'm going to say that again. All things at all times. He didn't say some things sometimes. All things at all times, having all that you need. So you get everything you need for every situation, every time, you will abound in every good work. Now, by flesh, sometimes it'll look like you fell short. Spiritually, you'll know, nope, he made me do exactly what I needed to in that situation because I trusted in him, right? So my works of giving are showing him I trust, or my lack of work of giving, I'm on my own. And a lot of us are living on our own. We may make more money, not put anything, and we're living, and why isn't God doing it? Because I'm doing it myself. Y'all get this? Keep that in mind. Don't mistake it, but I kept giving all these years and he didn't give me anything back. He's been giving you back. Now you're on your own. God created us to do good works. Titus 2:13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The difference here is the definition of good. When I'm eager to do what's good, I'm eager to do what he wants me to do. Worldly person wants to do what the world says is good. That's why I said, you'll go in the world, people who are not Christians, and man, they're volunteers, they're giving to the homeless, they'll go out of, you know, country, they'll do stuff, and that's nice, but it falls short. Doing good is, okay, God, what would you want me to do? If we did it right, we'd be more effective. But right now, we're investing in something that's temporary. If I just went and served the poor, period, and left it at that, I really am not doing them any good. I give them momentary help, but when I help the poor through God, that's a good work. Do y'all catch that? Because it'll let me know when to start, when to stop, how much to do. You got some people that are overdo it. They do it right now. And God's still going to call them wicked and lazy. Why? Because they're trying to do it themselves. I joined this, and then I joined that, and I participated in this, and I'm so busy doing all this. And God's going, I made you to be the hand. Why are you being the hand, the foot, the arm, the legs? Why are you being all those? I didn't make you to do that. Right? I'm just going to talk to you about being the hand. You're going to go, why? I didn't have time to do that. Why? Why didn't you have time to do the thing that you were supposed to be doing? Well, I was busy. Based on what? Y'all get this? So how I live has to be based on him, and only he is good. A major part of how we minister is our deeds. That's going to be a major ministering point. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Okay? So here's the thing. When I become a Christian, it doesn't just glow. It's not something I have, oh man, I can't help it, I'm just shining. No. It's something you must choose to do. Now, who's the light of the world? Christ. Yes. So that means I have to display Christ. But it's something I have to choose to do. That's why he says, let your light shine before men. So it means now when I'm around you and all of us, or not you, I'm talking about, let's say non-Christians, you're at work and you're all going through the same thing. How they see you act is going to be the ministering point, that they may see your good deeds. Right? We're all going through the same thing at work. We all go through same things in marriage. We all go the same thing through sickness. We all go through the same thing with kids. They're watching. God's going to allow you to go through something really tough, and now they're watching. Your chance to minister. And you're going to, how you live is going to be what ministers. If I'm just like them, I failed miserably. But when I do the good deeds and they see it and praise who? Your Father in heaven. Because they'll be like, Keith's just like me. Why is he able to? How come he's doing this? Why is he still able to? You got where I'm coming from. How come he's able to display this even though he's going through this horrible thing just like I am? Then I can go, well, it's not me. And they praise God. You see the difference here? Okay? But that's a work. That's how you live. So it's disturbing when you see Christians go through things. Sometimes they're worse. We're fussing. We're complaining. We have tantrums. We leave. We do some crazy things. And the world goes, so why should I be a Christian? So guess what you were? Stumbling block. And you know what he says about stumbling blocks. Amen? There's a responsibility comes with being a Christian. We are to take the church training and collectively do the work of God, each doing what God has to do. So remember that whole thing with the church responsible. Okay, I showed you what the church is responsible for doing. Here's the outcome. It says then. So when you read all the other ones, works of training, so we all can grow in the unity of Christ. Remember that? We read that. Then, but only then. We have to do the first half. So if you have to go back and read that, then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Now stop right there, because some of us are. Some of us, if some other teaching came and you're like, oh, now I'm confused again. Why? Because you didn't get past the then. You came to church for the wrong reason. You're not paying attention the right way. You're not growing with the body. So you're confused all the time. All somebody has to do is tell you, oh, I found another teaching. And you're like, oh, okay, let me follow this person. Now I'm confused. And why do we get confused? Because we didn't follow it. He was like, if I followed it, this will not happen to me. They can preach something else. I'll go, okay. Because in my mind, where's that in the Bible? And I got my brothers and sisters over here, and we're going to talk about it based on the Bible. And the church is going to teach me based on the Bible. And this won't happen to me. He was like tossed back and forth and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. And you get Christians, man, they can be tossed here and there because they didn't do anything before this end. And by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love. So in other words, you'll only hear me speaking the Bible based on true agape love. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head. So we already know who already claimed the one part of the body, and that's Christ. He is the head. Even though he is the body of Christ, he also plays a part in the body of Christ. Isn't that credible? Okay? So he's the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Some of us are ligaments. Some of us are parts of the body. All of us, we fit in here. Grows and builds itself up in love. Watch this. As each part does its work. Y'all see this? If Satan get me busy enough, I'm so busy, I'm not doing my part. And we think God's going to be impressed like the world. He's so busy because he's doing all this other stuff while he's supposed to be the hand. Why aren't you being the hand? Amen? Be the hand. You're not growing to find out what you are. You're not growing in what you are because you're doing so many other things instead of being this. And all this other stuff comes from the teaching that you're supposed to hold your church accountable for. Right? I understand it's a lot of information when we get it, but people usually want to go to church, hear two or three scriptures, and then say amen to it, and then we go home. And you're still responsible for the test. That's going to have a whole lot more. Why would he put all this information in the Word for you to hear two scriptures? Amen? There are people who've been in church all their lives, and there's scriptures they haven't heard. And we're not holding our church accountable. We need to hold us accountable. A responsibility of all is to work to make a living. Believe it, that's a basic one. We are all supposed to work with our hands with the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:7-10. It says, for you yourselves know that how you ought to follow our example. So he was ministering to them through their action also. Even as a minister, he said, we still should get paid as ministers. He said, we chose not to. But watch what he says. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. Do y'all get this? Some of us look for loopholes to get free stuff. Instead of going, there are people who really need that free stuff. Why am I taking it when I can work? Do y'all catch this? He's like, we didn't do it. You never seen us do that. It says, or on the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any one of you. That's the other side of it. Are you being a pressure due to your stubbornness? Amen. And you know, people like to talk about, I don't like paying my taxes and all this other stuff. For those who are struggling, are you necessarily struggling? Are you struggling because of you? You're choosing not to work. I'm going to be very picky with the jobs I get. Instead of going, I'm going to work here until maybe that door opens for me to have another job, but I'm still going to work. Or are you, I want what I want, so I'm going to do my own thing. Do y'all get this? We are responsible to work. And it's going to be undesirable jobs. God's not going to go, yeah, I wouldn't work there either. God's going, why aren't you working? Well, I didn't find what I wanted. That does not fly. Y'all do understand that. I'm still responsible. I'm going to get this job over here while I still look for job. Do y'all get this? Okay. He says, we work day and night that we don't won't be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help. He's saying, you know, their work is the ministry, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. So that was a specific thing that Paul did to show an example. He's like, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, and that's the key, will not. Not if a person's struggling, you see them really trying and they're going for it. A person who goes, I'm just not ready to, haven't found anything. And they don't mean they haven't found anything. The stuff they found, I'm not doing that. Do y'all get this? Will not work, he shall not eat. I remember me and my wife first met, and a lot of jobs I had to take. There was one job we had to clean bird poop off of machines. It paid. Things were clean. I did not want to do it. But I had to take care of my family. And this verse always came to mind. Do you understand that? It was one of those that I could say, well, God, I'm meant to do this. Couldn't find that yet. This came up. I'm there. Sign me up. I'm doing it. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? Okay. It's something that you got to work. Let the people who really need the system use the system, not somebody who's just not. Don't be that burden. So this is a huge work for Christians. True Christians work. Can I make that any clear? All right. It is our responsibility to expose evil works. This is something we hesitate on. Okay. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11 says, for you were once dark. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, there's a lot in here. Let me break this down first. It says, you were once darkness. He said, you understood before you got saved, you did stuff that was against God. He says, you are now light. So we already saw what the light's supposed to do. He says, live as children of the light. Don't just say you're a Christian. Be a Christian in every situation. You understand? Don't just say I'm working on it. Be it. It says, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, when you see Christ come out of me, I'm showing truth. I'm showing everything that God is giving us because I know it comes from the word. He says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Big reason why you come to church, you don't want to go, what does God want me to do next? That's what you're doing. You don't come to church, say you went to church. You came here to go, what does God want me to do next? All right? Pastor, explain it. Show me in the Bible. What does God want me to do next? Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Let me put this very clear. There are practices and things out there that the Bible has nothing. There's nothing the Bible pushes. It's actually against what the Bible says. Have nothing to do with them is what he's saying. Right? In fact, expose them. There are practices that people are doing that seem like they work. Some people taking drugs. Some people getting drunk. Certain things they're doing, and they're telling other people, let's all do this and to make us feel better and this and that. Instead of us as Christians going, you do understand drunkenness is sinful. It's part of the sinful nature. You do understand any type of drug use is sinful. Expose them. Do y'all get where I'm going with this? There's no excuse. There's no exception to it at all. We're supposed to do that. Also, he shows in Philippians 3, 2 through 3, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil. So the first way I know them, remember, because you'll know them by their fruit, watch their lives. I've met people. I'm a Christian. You sit there watching their lives and you're kind of, amen? It's okay. Hopefully they're not looking at us that way. Right? What if somebody's looking at you? Oh, you are? Oh, you're a Christian too? We got to watch out for them, because that's what gives, that's our calling card. Those mutilators of the flesh. They like to do things, look how holy I am. They'll do stuff to make it, to give you an impression, but it's not what God tells them to do. For it is we who are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who what? Put no confidence in the flesh. I don't do it because I'm brilliant. I don't do it because I look good. I don't do it because I have my degrees. I don't do it because I worked under this teacher. I don't. None of that works. Mine is, Christ, use me as you see fit. In fact, I can't do any of that. So now I'm really going to have to depend on you. Right? But if you're training yourself to be this great something so God can use you, you missed it. Because it doesn't come from. Nothing wrong with going to school. Nothing wrong with getting training. But that can't be your purpose. God, I'll minister as soon as I get this training and I'm a master at it. Because most of the people who have done that have destroyed the body. They really hurt the body because they came in thinking, I got this new answer, and you really don't have to follow the Bible. And some think they're partnering with God. God doesn't need you as a partner. We're all his servants. Please know the difference. Okay? And when we see our brothers not obeying, we are to disconnect, to shame him, to do right. Now, this is an action never done today. Just not done. Why? Because, well, you know, and they don't want to hurt their feelings, and it's too hard to do it, and Christians do not do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:14-15, if anyone does not obey our instruction, that's the first thing. So you see them purposely not doing what the Bible says. In this letter, take special note of him. Now, some people are like, well, I got to mind my own business. You do understand you are my business, and I'm your business, right? So you see somebody clearly not doing what the word says. It says take special note. Well, I notice he's not doing that. That's not me condemning. It's me going, how can I help him? He tells us how to help him. In order, it says, do not associate with him. So that's where you go, as long as you're doing this, we can't be. If we would do more of that, we'd bring a lot more Christians back. What we do is, well, I still love you. You're still my homie. We're still close. We're still family. And now you comfort them in their sin. Right? Right? And we allow them in their sin. Well, God gave me the answer. He says, do not associate with them. My answer shouldn't. And it doesn't mean I just give them silent treatment. Mine is, as long as you continually participate in this without trying to get out of it, we can't. Give me a call when you want to try to get out of it. I'll be more than glad to spend time with you getting out of it. But I can't be with you while you're participating in it. And he says very clearly, in order that he may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, so don't treat him like he's the plague. You know, when groups do this, they run away from him. Don't talk to him. Here they come. Take your kids. Throw them in the house. No. It means you let them know every time you see, we can't. Are you done doing that? Are you now doing what you're supposed to? Are you working on it? Yeah, I really need help. Okay, I'll work with you as long as you're sincere. If you're not, in order to shame him, but not as an enemy, but to warn him as a brother. He gave me the answer now how to deal with that. Why aren't we doing it? Well, I don't want to hurt the feelings, and we have good friendships and all that. And you see, and I'm like, saying, this is us as Christians. We get the answer. We don't trust God. You say you trust him, but we don't. A Christian woman's dress should be that of a good deed. Now, understand that. When it put this out there, especially in our world today, because a lot comes on the woman on based on what she's wearing. A lot is put on the man based on what he does. That's what our culture is built upon. It's always been that way. Okay? So on a woman's clothes, if she allows that to be what displays her, that's a problem. Now, what this is not saying, let me read it. I'll tell you what it's not saying, and this is what it's saying. 1 Timothy 2:9-10 says, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Let me stop there. Because if you go to some of the charismatic church, they'll tell you that's why you shouldn't wear jewelry, you shouldn't have makeup, and don't do your hair nice, and you know, be as dressed down as possible. He didn't stop there. And this is why we have to know sound doctrine. He says, instead of dressing or having this with modesty, he says, but with good deeds. Now, what story can you go by good deeds? Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. He's saying, your dress, don't put the thought into the dress. Don't let that be the things that put out your beauty. It should come from your actions in the Lord. Do y'all get this? That's the beauty. Nothing wrong with you putting all that other stuff, but it's not going to define you, right? You'll come out with the curlers and everything, and it won't matter because you'll still be as beautiful because you're showing true beauty that is never fading, like it says in Proverbs. You allow the stuff that the world gives you, it fades. Nothing you can do. Get all the plastic surgery you want. It fades. Do y'all get this? He's saying make sure it comes from the actions you do. That's true beauty. True beauty. Our training to young men are partly taught by older being an example of what is good. You'll notice in the same one in Titus where it showed the women, and it was a lot more action, a lot more instruction on how the older women are supposed to teach young women. But when it comes to the men, look what it says. Titus 2:6-7. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. And then it says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. They're watching us. I can't give them a command and then do differently. It will not work. So when these young men are grown up to be jerks as men, it's because we were jerks in how we lived. Tells you something, doesn't it? Are we giving them a godly example? I told you I did stuff that my son could see that was worldly. You know what I mean? In my work ethic and things like that. I don't think I did it as much in my spiritual. So as I watch, I'm going, that was my fault. And a lot of us are doing the same thing. Our lifestyles, how we are, how we treat our wives, how we treat with our work, how we deal with our money, they're watching. They're absorbing. Now, you'll teach them. You'll give them all this other teaching. You got to do this. You got to be that. And they're shaking their head, yes. Then you walk away and they're going, I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to say the right things. Do y'all get this? Okay? And we're messing it up. And not just dads. This is men. Because we got young people that don't have dads, but we always in the body have men. And when they watch you, are they watching you and going, he's telling me to do it, but look at him. Are you responsible in how you live? It's what you do. It says, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good in your teaching. Show integrity and seriousness. So when it comes to my teaching, they'll see not only am I teaching you it, guess what? I'm doing it. This is that same thing he just told me. He does that. Right? How he treats my mom, he does that. How he is with his finances, he does that. They'll watch you and be ministered to by you. How he was responsible and spent time with me, he does that. Worthless if you're just telling him it. Y'all see this? And those that love Christ do what he says and imitate his life. 1 John 2:4-6. This is the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. So when somebody says, are you a Christian? And you say yes, but you're not doing what he tells you, you're not. You're lying. Okay? Your calling card for truly being a Christian is you showing that you do what he says. So when you get these Christians that teach, you really don't have to obey because grace is this thing or you don't have to do works. And you hear this. And people think, oh, so I just have to say these few words and I'm a Christian? Nope. I say those few things meaning my life's changed. I'm living for him. Right? He is my Lord. It says, and the truth is not in him. That's how you know. Watch them. Watch their life. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. The way you know you're a Christian, you'll watch that person, and they're completely following what the Bible says. But they got to know what the Bible says. So they're completely going to make sure to get the understanding of the Bible. And then they have to understand what it means. So they're going and taking everything they can to understand it so they can live it, and then they repeat. And you see them doing this daily, and they keep growing in it. That's a Christian. You're not doing this. You're not. And I just eliminated a ton of people. And not me, the Word did. And it's a warning because I don't want you to be one of the ones on the other end going, Lord, Lord. And he goes, I never knew you. He gave you fair warning and understanding. How do I know if I'm a Christian? Here's your answer. It says, this is how we know we are in him. Did y'all catch that? He gave that to us for us. Check your life. Are you doing exactly what he says in your life? Then you're a Christian. If you're not, you're not. It says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Some of us have no idea how he walked, unless you watch some movie that made more drama than they did scripture. Right? Nobody knows. We have no clue. But you look at his word, It'll show you his humility, his love, his dedication to God, everything. I have to be that same way. Not so caught up in me. Love must be displayed. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words. I love you. Don't we do that? Isn't that great? I love you. Sounds good. Or tongue, but with action in truth. Right? There are people that probably never say I love you, but have said it all their lives. And when he just says action, because there's sometimes we'll do stuff for people and we say I did that because I love you. But true love is when the action is based on truth, which is the word. When I do something for you based on God's word, I love you. I wouldn't have to say it. Yeah, that's how I'm supposed to do it. When I react, that's why he's saying to the parent who does not punish the child based on what the Bible says, hates them. That parent would fight you for that. Parent, don't you dare tell me I don't love God. We don't care what you think you are. God's telling you what you are because he is the truth. So I'm following the truth. And know when not doing something is a sin. Okay? James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sin. There was somebody who said that's why he doesn't go to church. He said, I don't go to church, so then I don't have to know it, then I don't sin. And I said, but you know you're supposed to go to church. He was like, oh, see, that's why I don't talk to you. But do you understand that? Okay? And no matter what, you can't get away from it. Right? There's a responsibility. You are supposed to do it. You choose not to do it, you sin. You know that you, I don't want to get involved. I don't want them to be mad at me. God's not going, yeah, I get it. God's going, no. You know what you're supposed to do. Why aren't you doing it? Right? You sin. Now we know. Let's react. Final stretch, y'all. Since we know God will judge every man's work, we need to live in complete reverence. Y'all get this? All right? Please, first of all, let's start in reverence so we can live in complete reverence. And that reverence has to be that I do not want to let God down and I don't want to be on the other end for somebody who didn't do what God wanted me to do. 1 Peter 1:17 says, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially. So my excuse that I try to use, I saw so and such and I'm not like them, so I'm okay, I'm in trouble. Instead of realizing I'm comparing what I do based on what his word says. He's going to come and say, okay, Keith, let's go down everything you've done. Why are you doing this? And if my answer is not because your word says, I'm in trouble. Okay? And that's why he says, live your lives as strangers here in what? Reverent fear. I was talking to someone and today we place so much on our culture because we live here based on the culture. While the Bible teaches us to live here as strangers, then the culture doesn't touch us. Did y'all catch that? You go, oh, y'all do that. I'm not doing it. Have you ever seen people from, especially the ones who are deep in their religion from other countries, and they'll come to America with all this freedom, and they still won't. Right? You got Muslim groups that they'll still wear the clothing and everything the way they do in their culture that they would kill them or throw them in jail for not doing it. And they'll come here, and they'll still wear it that same way because there's a reverent fear. Y'all get that? We as Christians should have, we're surrounded by all this stuff we can do, and you see us go, I can't do that. And not, well, everybody else is doing it. You'll immediately, I can't do that because God said. That's reverent fear. Strangers. We're an American. No, I'm a Christian. Do y'all see this? That's reverent fear. You're going to be open to things that's not against the law, that everybody else is doing. They don't seem to be hurt by it. You know the Bible says not to, and you go, that's what we're supposed to. That's why we got to be strangers. The minute I make myself at home and become an American, then a Christian, I'm in trouble. Okay? All Americans are not Christians. And all Americans are not going to heaven. Don't fool yourself. I'm supposed to be a Christian. That happens to be in America. That's what it should be. And since we know about the destruction of the end, we need to live godly lives. 2 Peter 3:11 through 13. This one is... Let's read. I'm going to show you something. It says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. So we take this as just an extra bonus to live, but he's letting you know, that's why he started off with, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? There should be some sort of fear of being in his wrath. And because we're not seeing it, that whole outside out of mind, we kind of live nonchalant. When it happens, it's too late. Okay? And hopefully that fear is brought back in you. Wait a minute, what's going to happen? Do you understand? There should be some sort of fear, and that's what the word is supposed to bring in you. But we kind of go, until it happens, right? It says, as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, okay? That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of the righteous. So there's a good outcome to it. Do you understand this? I remember when I see it with my grandkids. So my son will tell my one of them, he's very stubborn, and he'll tell him not to do something. And sometimes he'll sit there and do it right in front of him. But the minute my son gets up, he's, no, please, no, no, no. And he's screaming no. And you're saying, why didn't you just not do it? Right? And the other kids are looking, it's not me. Right? Now, all of those come in the same play, because we are doing the same thing to God. He's saying, don't do it. And we're staring right at him while we're doing it. And one day we're going to go, no. Do y'all see this? Because we're right in his face doing what we're not supposed to do. He makes it clear. Why are you doing it? I don't know. I don't know. It's okay. Right? And it's going to be a lot worse than that spanking. Jesus warned from the beginning that good deeds is what we will be, that will be the identification of true Christians. Matthew 25, 41 to 46 says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. So we do know that's hell. And he's going to explain who those are. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, that doesn't mean, hey, we're going to run out and just go do good deeds, because if I do them wrong, I'm still not doing them. Y'all get this? How do I look after the sick? How do I look after those who are in prison? How do I do this? And that's what the Bible teaches me. And for those who are, once again, when we get too busy and we're not doing this, y'all see how this works? Okay? He was like, that's going to determine, because a true Christian, this is going to fall into place. When I'm not, I'm too busy. I got stuff I got to do. So here's a review. The purpose of church is to train us to serve by faith. Okay? So you come here so we as a body can learn and grow in faith. The Bible gives us everything we need to live by faith. Okay? So nobody can say, well, I didn't know. I don't understand. It's not, you are covered. You have everything you need. When we obey God's word, we cleanse ourselves and make us available to be used by God. If I don't obey God's word, I'm saying, God, nope, I got to do it myself. Okay, and I'm setting myself outside. Expected works of Christians are living a holy, depending on God, living a holy life, depending on God to supply us with what we need to do good works. Living to minister to others. And remember, that holy life is only something he can give us. Depending on God is going to show in certain actions like tithing and things of that sort to show him, I truly trust in you. From the training of church, we are to play our part in the body. We must live making an honest living, expose those that do evil, and redirect Christians that do evil. Okay? And finally, we must live godly lives in reverence, knowing our actions display what we really are. Once again, one of those sermons that gives a lot of information on a topic that we all need to know that we're responsible for. I gave it. I'm always available for questions as much as I can be. We offer the things for you to learn. Please don't just take these and just, you know, put them away and move on to the next one. Get them, understand them. Apply them. Amen?